All right, so this is the title of my sermon today, A Theology of Sleep. Now, if you're going to be a pastor, you're going to preach a sermon called The Theology of Sleep. What do you think happened last night at around 9:45 when I went to bed? I couldn't sleep. Ugh. This is like, and I'm thinking about the fact that I'm going to preach a sermon on this very point tomorrow, and here I am, and then later at like 10:45 and 11 o'clock, as I'm kind of like annoying my wife by rolling over constantly, and then I'm going to have to get up and talk about sleep. But anyways, that is my confession to start. So, it's in sleep mode. It's on. Should be clicking. Oh. Let's see if it's working or if it's just... Ah. You know what? I might need a new clicker. This thing isn't working very well. Okay. So... All right, Amanda. Whenever I wave my arm... That made me feel better. It did work this morning when I tested it out. All right, whenever I wave my hand, then you can flip it. All right. So, except, oh my, I wave my hands all the time. I need a special signal. Whenever I hoot like a barn owl, then you can do it. All right. So, God does not sleep. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. God is always active. God is always working. God is always busy in this world. And yet when he made us in his image, he did not make us like him in this way. He didn't make us always active. He made us specifically so that we would spend 8 hours, one-third of our life, as helpless as a baby, lying in our beds where some snake could come in and like bite us and we could die every single night. So we have to lay down at night knowing that we are going to be helpless for the next 8 hours. And this, I think, teaches us a lot. Now, sleep can be a hard thing for us sometimes. So many of you know, my wife had an episode of insomnia where she was unable to sleep for more than a week, and off and on. And mostly, I sleep pretty well, except for last night, which was an exception. And if I don't, it's funny, like God made us, if we don't sleep, if we don't like make ourselves helpless, we become kind of helpless. Because when I don't sleep, my temper gets shorter, I get more prone to getting off track when I'm talking or when I'm giving a sermon. Pray for me. And all of these things become really hard. Now, one of my favorite psalms is Psalm 127, verse 2. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. He gives to his beloved sleep. And just like every Sabbath rest we take, God made the world with 1 out of 7 where he's not going to work. Every night when we lay down in bed, we can say, I don't have to be worried and anxious for these next 8 hours. I don't have to be working because I know God is taking care of me. Sleep is a picture, sleep is a picture of faith, in which we learn to trust in God's providence over our lives, God's taking care of us. So, let's turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 8, verse 22. We're going to read the whole text. Luke chapter 8, verse 22. This is a short passage. One day, he, that's Jesus, got into a boat with his disciples. And he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." So they set out. And as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in danger. And they went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." And he awoke and rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and they ceased, and there was a calm. He said to them, "Where is your faith?" They were afraid, and they marveled, saying to one another, "Who then is this that he commands even winds and water, and they obey him?" It's the word of the Lord. So, Jesus gets into a boat with his disciples. And we're going to find out pretty soon that they're sailing to the other side into Gentile territory. The last chapter or two of Luke has been a fury of activity as Jesus has been teaching. Jesus has been healing. There have been crowds around him the whole time. And you get the sense that at this point, Jesus is tired. Jesus needs rest. And he's got periods of rest we see in the gospel. And here Jesus is setting out on a boat into a place where he's going to be more free from trouble. We see in many ways Jesus' humanity here. That even though being God and having all of this great power, he still needs, like a human being, to rest at night. And Jesus, in perfect trust of the Father, lies down and sleeps in a pretty small, probably a fishing boat, claiming the promise of God, Psalm 127, he gives to his beloved sleep. And then, as he's sleeping in the boat, a windstorm comes down on the lake. And so it's a small lake and there's mountains around. And so they can get these storms rather suddenly. The windstorm comes down and the waves start going. They are filling with water and they're in danger, and really in danger there. They're in danger of sinking. I don't know, has anyone ever been out on a boat in big waves? On a big lake. So when I was about 12, I went out on my uncle's catamaran with my dad and my uncle, and they're all farmers, but they like to pretend to sail. So we're out on Lake Huron. Lake Huron is a very big lake. And as we're out there, all of a sudden the sky's getting a little darker in the west, and we're just like, we want to sail for a bit longer. And then all of a sudden the waves are getting a little bigger, and boy, that storm's getting closer, and all of a sudden it's like whack, there's lightning hitting the water, and here we are with this big metal pole that we're hanging on to, and we're going through, and the waves are like coming over the boat, and we're like, we're not experienced sailors, we're trying to get this thing turned around. Thankfully the storm's mostly pushing us to shore as long as the waves, but you get with the waves, you're turning in those waves, and boy, it gets pretty scary. Because those waves get big around you, it gets pretty frightening. Almost this basic instinct of I can't quite see the shore with these waves, and it gets pretty scary. In the same way, these disciples are afraid. Now, these are fishermen mostly. They were probably on this lake before they could walk. Like, they know this water, and they know they are in a heap of trouble right now. There's also a little bit of a feeling maybe that people trained in the Old Testament, here you are setting out to a Gentile place that maybe God isn't quite pleased with you. Because in the back of your mind, when you're in a boat and a big storm comes up really suddenly, you got to have the story of Jonah in the back of your mind a little bit. Because Jonah set out from Israel to a Gentile place far away, maybe to do something else. And also when he gets out there, God sends this storm, which is only going to be calmed when Jonah is thrown overboard in the picture of kind of atonement, where Jonah is going to, for all intents and purposes, be cast to his death, 3 days to rise in a picture that's going to become like Jesus Christ. So it is interesting in this story that they don't wake up Jesus sooner. And maybe they're just like thinking, we don't really want to wake up the master for this little bit, but they're like bailing and they're doing all of this stuff, and the last thing they're going to do is wake up Jesus. And it's a funny picture. It's a picture of my life so often. Here I am in trouble. This trouble's coming up, and I think the first thing I'm going to do is I'm getting my paddle, and I'm rowing, I'm working, I'm doing everything possible that I can do in my humanly strength before I start thinking I might need to trust God. Like, God just becomes this backup plan in our lives so much. It's like, God is not a backup plan. God is the plan. And so we can work, but we wake him up, we get to talking to God right away. And this is a lesson that, this is a lesson I so need to learn. So when I get into trouble in life, I just want to get that paddle, and I want to keep working and working and working, eating the bread of anxious toil. It's incredible, the fact that here they are, the water is filling the boat. The waves are like coming over, they're going up and down, and Jesus is still asleep. This is like the most amazing picture of faith that I could see in the Bible, is that there's rowing up and down, and Jesus is just like, yeah, give me 10 more minutes, please. Like, Jesus, in unity with the Father, knows when he laid down his head that the storm is coming. He knows that the waves are coming. He knows that they're going to be in some amount of danger. And yet here he is, fast asleep, because he has faith that God is going to get him. No, God is going to get him where he needs to go. And this is like, this is the picture of this passage. It's a picture we need to keep in our minds, is that here are the disciples. They're bailing the water, they're paddling, they're moving the sails, they're doing all of the work possible. This is us so often in life. We're just working our butts off, trying to keep afloat. And here's Jesus, fast asleep. He's like, God's got this. I don't even need to be working here. And in our lives, we need to put down the paddle and know, like, if we are in the boat with Jesus, we are going to be okay. Jesus is going to get us where we need to go. Jesus is going to get us where we need to go. Now, Psalm 127:2 says, it is vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. A God has called us to do a certain amount of work in life. Like, we're called to work diligently as our tasks, as to God and not to man. It's not a call just to like float through life. But when the time comes to rest, and all along, we need to be trusting and looking at the picture of Jesus asleep more than the disciples paddling for their lives. Everything that we strive for that is beyond what Jesus has commanded is the bread of anxious toil. It's just like the little thing, we can sneak on the margins. It's like, you know, if I wake up a little or wake at 6 o'clock in the morning, I can get here to work and do like 2 hours before, you know, a lot of people are even awake, and I can get this like little edge here and there. And I still spend probably too much of my life doing this. And there was a time I probably did it even more. I was thinking about that being back at my farm the last couple of days. It's how often I've tried just to like cut out all the margins in my life because I think I can make this thing. And that is what the Bible calls the bread of anxious toil. It's like, I am not trusting God here. I am trying to paddle with all my might to make this work for me. Sometimes we need to put down our paddles as Christians. So, next verse. The disciples are anxiously toiling, and finally, when they get to their last hope, they're like, there's water coming in, we are about to sink. Okay, I guess now we're going to go talk to Jesus. Funny, I just thought about this. It's like, of course Jesus is sleeping. He's not worried about the water. He walks on water. Verse 24. And they went and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. It's like they waited until the moment. And perishing here is like, we are lost. We are, like you can, this word sometimes gets translated damned. Like it's gone. Like we are at the end. Master, we are perishing. And he awoke. And I kind of imagine Jesus awaking, sort of like, ugh, you know, kind of slowly getting up, like stretching out a little bit. And he rebuked the wind and the raging waves, which is simply like he said, waves stop, wind quit blowing. And they ceased, and there was a calm. Jesus here, and in this part of Luke, we're going to see how Jesus, master, is the master of the world. And here we see him displaying powers of God in a unique way in Scripture. Psalm 89:9 says, O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty as you are? O Lord, with your faithfulness all around you, you rule the raging sea. And when its waves rise, you still them. And I know we've been paying attention in the Gospel of Luke in all of the different ways where he shows that Jesus Christ is not just this good teacher. You know, a survey just came out and said that evangelicals, that 33% of evangelicals said that Jesus was a good teacher, but not necessarily God. And I'm like, what are we teaching people? But here it is, like for the 15th time, the Gospel of Luke, and we're only in chapter 8 of 24, Jesus is shown to have this power that's only ascribed to God. He speaks, the waves are calm. And so once again, we see Jesus is the Lord God. And we can know from this that no matter how difficult our circumstance, no matter how raging the waves of life seem around us, God is in control. We can put down our paddle. Whether it be your job, which seems unsustainable, your marriage, which seems so problematic, God is in control. We can put down our paddle. Even those times, and as a farmer I know this, when the wind and the waves seem to be impossibly against us, we can still rest on Sunday. We can still put down our paddle. Because God is in control. If we live our lives with Jesus in the boat, we can sleep like Jesus, knowing that he will bring us to where we need to go. And even if where we need to go is the grave, like this is our last boat ride, God is still with us. We can put down our paddle. Now, verse 25. Jesus said to them, where is your faith? First, he rebukes the wind and the waves, and now he rebukes his disciples. We too often as Christians think fear and anxiety are only natural. And it's true, they are natural in the sense of, according to our flesh, when we see the wind and the waves crashing down, we're going to get really afraid. When life seems out of control, we are going to feel out of control. But we are called in Jesus Christ not to see the world through natural eyes, staring at the chaos and the storm, but to see life through the eyes of faith that knows that God is the one who stills the storm. God is in control. Anxiety is not merely something that is like something that makes life hard. Anxiety is a sin. We are commanded not to be anxious. Jesus Christ is commanded, Matthew 6:31. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient is the day for its own trouble. Now, the trouble is that whenever I talk about anxiety being a sin, if you're someone who's prone to anxiousness, now you're more anxious, because not only do you have everything in life to worry about, you have to worry about your worries, which is as ironic as it is self-defeating. Now, if you get talking with me and we get talking about sin, you get pretty soon, I'm like, well, you know, there's a lot of sin in all of our lives, and that's not actually the big problem. Like, the big problem is not the amount of sin in our lives. Our big problem is not recognizing it, confessing it, and moving on. Now, there's a certain amount of worry that's fine. Like, we're worried about getting our work done. We're going to use that to conquer the problem. But when these things get out of bounds, when we're worried about things that we should not be worried about, we need to say, Lord God, I confess that I'm worried about this, and I should not be. I know you're in control of every atom in this universe, and I should be trusting you now. I confess that I am anxious, and I should not be. And I pray, Lord, that you would give me the kind of faith to go to sleep tonight, knowing that you are in control. Now, you might have to tell yourself that a million times during a day, but keep saying it, because it's true. And we want to focus on the truth. That's like the number one thing for like mental health issues in the world is, I am going to focus on the truth, not the lie, no matter how much I feel the lie. And, going on the text, and they were afraid, and they marveled, saying to one another, who is this then that he commands the wind and the water, and they obey him? So we get this irony of here the disciples are, they're like afraid of the wind and the waves, and they're afraid of dying. Jesus comes, stills all the waves. Now they're like not afraid of dying. They're kind of afraid of Jesus. Now, this second fear I don't think is a bad fear. In fact, this text almost models to a T a text in Jonah. Jonah 1:16 says, so this is after they throw him, the sea becomes calm. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly. Now, this is a good thing. They feared the true God of Israel, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord, to Yahweh, and made vows. So just like these sailors came to the realization of who God truly was after they threw Jonah overboard, in the same way, when Jesus commands the wind and the waves, they see Jesus and they know who he really is, and they're in awe. Jesus is not just the master, the rabbi, or the teacher, but he is the only Lord and God who commands the wind and the waves. And when we know this, when we know that, yes, God, Jesus is God and he's in control, yes, I put my life, my trust in Jesus, we can rest in the storms of life. We can take a nap like Jesus instead of getting our paddle and paddle and paddle until we can't paddle anymore, and then maybe as a backup we'll go to God. So summary one. We can see Jesus' humanity here in that he needs sleep, and we can see his divinity in that he commands the wind and the waves. Two, we see a picture here of what godly faith is. Godly faith is being able to sleep in the storm of life, knowing that, yes, God is in control, instead of paddling furiously. So, this is our assignment for this week. When we go to sleep this week, you lay down 9:30 at night. Hopefully you don't have anything loud or buzzing. If you do, take it and throw it somewhere. Think to yourself, God is in control. I am in his boat. He's going to get me where I need to go. I can rest soundly tonight because I am his child. Let's pray. Lord God, help us to trust you. So many of us struggle with anxiety and want to paddle furiously through every storm of life. Help us to be like Jesus and to be able to rest when you've called us to rest. Let us reflect on this every time we go to sleep, that yes, you are caring for us, and we can trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.